Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and we are in the tongues module. And let me just remind you, of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, there are three subcategories. In each subcategory, there are three gifts each. So there are three categories of three gifts, and that equals nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're studying tongues, which is one of the inspirational gifts. And so let me just open in a word of prayer, and then let's go forward slowly, step by step, so that we come out with an increased capacity in order to operate in tongues. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this. This was your idea, and so we honor you. And Father, we get rid of fear. Father, there's so much fear surrounding tongues and wrong doctrine, wrong teaching. And so, Father, we just ask that your peace would come upon this lesson so that the Word of God will come forth with clarity and Holy Spirit anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Howard Carter said, one might say that a definition of this gift is the power to speak supernaturally by the Holy Spirit in a language not known to the one possessing the gift. The speaking with tongues, therefore, is an amazing miracle of utterance. Let's continue here. The sign gift of different kinds of tongues is when God speaks directly to man through man, such as on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verses 4 through 8. To understand tongues further, we must accept one important, one unchanging truth. This truth being that all languages come from God. When the Lord breathed life into Adam, his eyes opened. The first thing Adam saw was the face of God. Adam saw God's smile. Then Adam heard the Lord's voice for the first time. After a short pause, Adam spoke, and God heard Adam's voice for the first time. As man spoke, creation itself rejoiced in this new relationship of Father and Son. It is in this special creation called man that language finds itself at the very core of who man is, created in the image of God to fellowship with God. In the new birth, man is restored to sonship, and with this restored position of authority comes a new language of communion. This language, flowing in unlimited speech, upward to the throne of God. And you need to think about that. God created us for communion, unlimited communion. This prayer language, empowered by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, enables God and man to pray together the perfect will of God. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, that he who speaks or prays in tongues edifies himself, while they that prophesy, which includes the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues, edifies the church. It becomes clear that studying chapter 14 that there is both a place for unlimited communion through prayer to God in tongues, as well as the Holy Spirit using tongues in a directional change to speak outward to men. In approaching this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, we must move forward slowly, step by step, so that a firm foundation is laid in our hearts. The goal is to, what, not be ignorant. Therefore, tongues is a New Testament operation of speech that is comprised of, number one, a personal prayer language, speaking to God. Number two, a charisma gift, where the Holy Spirit speaks outward to men. In studying Paul's writings, it becomes clear that Paul saw tongues as tongues. And the difference between the two operations would be in the directional flow of how they are used. This speaking characteristic of the Holy Spirit in the life of a New Testament believer was noted by Jesus in John chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus likened salvation to a well of water springing up into eternal life, and then turned around in John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39, declaring that out of the same believer's belly would gush forth a river of living water. One operation is heavenward, while the other operation is manward. The prayer language called tongues is the foundational gift of tongues that is imparted into a believer when he or she is baptized in the Holy Spirit. Remember, the book of Acts is not a suggestive picture of what the Lord desires to desires for his church, but rather a living blueprint that was designed to govern the church throughout the ages. In our communion with the Lord, the Holy Spirit in us can empower a change in our speaking in tongues. Just as you and I can turn the cold water on at the sink and then quickly change to hot water by turning a different handle, the water is coming from the same source, but hot water carries a specific modification in it, heat. So it is with tongues. There is a noticeable difference in how this flow of inspiration can change from upward, and the upward flow of speaking in tongues to the Father is unlimited, and then how it can change to an outward flow to man. Now, that is not limited, unlimited. The outward flow of God speaking to man would be a message. It would begin and it would end. But when we pray in the Spirit and commune with the Father, that is an upward flow. It is a spring of living water bubbling up, communing with the Father. But when the handle is turned and the gift, that special gift of the Holy Spirit, goes into operation, then something changes. And now it's rushing out like a river, and it's speaking to man. The Holy Spirit is speaking to men. It's all tongues, but how it operates, it can differ. Okay? Please note that the charisma gift of tongues found in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, is controlled by the Holy Spirit as he wills and not by man. Man simply yields to this flow of grace. And I'm going to say it again. It starts and it ends. Prayer tongues doesn't begin with the Holy Spirit. It begins with a man's desire to commune with the Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. He's talking about that communion of prayer in those other languages, and he just is praying. And then he said, listen, he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. His mind doesn't understand it, but in the Spirit, he's speaking mysteries, and he's talking directly to God. And that's unlimited. You turn it on, you turn it off, and you can be driving in the car, praying in the Holy Spirit. You can be walking down the sidewalk and say, you know, Heavenly Father, I just want to commune with you, so I'm going to pray in the Holy Spirit. But when you get over to the church, and you're in that worship, and all of a sudden, oh, the power of God comes, and you go, you know what, God has a message. And all of a sudden, prayer tongues of communion changes, and now it's the Holy Spirit using tongues to speak a message out. And as it goes forward, then there is a corresponding gift called the interpretation of tongues. They work together, and they bring a message. Okay? It's not unlimited. It's concise. It's precise. It begins. It ends. But prayer tongues does not end. You can go continually in praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay? In my closing thought, The three inspirational gifts of the Holy Spirit accomplish the same task: encouragement, edification, and comfort. In one sense, it is as if the Lord split prophecy into two divisions: prophecy on one side with tongues and interpretation of tongues on the other side. Isaiah 28, verses 11 through 12, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith you may, that he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet you would not hear.'" The little rebuke there to the Jewish people. You may ask, why does God use the gift of tongues with the interpretation of tongues, when he can accomplish the same result through the gift of prophecy? Well, that's a great question, because they're equal in result. But how they operate is different. And you will find the wisdom of God when he wants to accomplish something. He has different tools, and how he wants to do it has a lot of wisdom in it, okay? Now, so, good question. First, he does it because he's God. He finds pleasure in what he creates. Remember, it is God who created us, and not we who created God. Second, God is gathering what he scattered at the Tower of Babel. It is a full circle from the tower to the upper room. One act of bestowing languages was to scatter. Of course, that's the Tower of Babel. While the second act of giving languages was to bring unity and to gather all nations into Christ. Acts chapter 2. And so, one thing I want to add here, of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, of course, we're in the tongues and interpretation of tongues modules. And throughout the whole Bible, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you can do a wonderful study and see them all in operation. But these two gifts were birthed on the first day of the church. They came with the New Testament church. You say, Brother Eric, why did God do it that way? Well, I think number one, well, he is God. He can do what he wants. Number two, I think it's wonderful that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are three gifts times three gifts times three gifts. And until the New Testament, there was only seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's holy. That's powerful. But you see something very special in the New Testament with tongues. And I really think the first thing is God was saying to all the nations back at the Tower of Babel, hey, it's time to come out of your darkness, out of your rebellion. And just as I gave you tongues and scattered you, that which I scattered, I'm going to gather. And with that, and at the Tower of Babel, there was a man named Abraham. He was there. And then God says to Abraham, he says, Abraham, out of you, I'm going to bless all nations. Abraham didn't understand what that meant. He watched all these people start to speak in different languages, and then they're scattered to the ends of the earth. And God is saying, hey, Abraham, in you, I'm going to bless all nations. And then we find out later that that blessing of Abraham is what? Receiving that wonderful baptism of the Holy Spirit. And of course, with it comes tongues. But it's tongues in reverse. It's the blessing of languages. And this is really where man has to humble himself. We didn't create God. He created us for his pleasure. And he has some wonderful blessings for us if we'll humble ourselves and believe and receive, then we walk in this wonderful power of the Holy Spirit. So you need to think about these things and begin to challenge your doctrine, how you think or what you used to think. Now let's go and look at two examples. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Number one, tongues. 120 apostles and other disciples, including Mary. Now, I put that because that's really wonderful that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was in the room when the power of God fell, and she began to speak forth in these wonderful languages. And you have to understand, Mary had a wonderful experience with the Holy Spirit when the angel came and Gabriel said, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. And then baby Jesus, that embryo, that wonderful baby on the inside of Mary, so endowed with power and glory. I wonder what it was like to be Mary. I mean, she was so full of the power of God as little Jesus was growing in there, and to the point that when she went and greeted Elizabeth, what happened? Elizabeth got filled with the Holy Ghost and John the Baptist got filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a lot of power. And so here is Mary waiting in the upper room. She knows there's a promise coming. She's already tasted of the power of the Holy Spirit in a very unique, very special way. And I think she's up in the upper room going, Lord, I so miss the Holy Spirit overshadowing me with power. And she's probably up there encouraging everybody, listen, guys, you want this operation of heaven. You want it in your lives. And she probably was encouraging them. They probably got a little tired and she began to pray stronger, saying, Lord, do this unto me. Do this unto me. And remember, these people didn't have Bibles to read about tongues. They just wanted it. They weren't afraid. The people in the 120 in the upper room weren't religious people who were afraid of speaking in tongues. These people knew there's a promise and we want it. And like I said, Mary was encouraging them. So Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2, 6 through 8. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed, marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these who speak Galileans? How do we hear every man in our own language, the language wherein we were born, meaning our own family tongue, our dialect? And wow, that's, now you're talking about accents there. And these guys, they're speaking in the perfect accent of these people that were listening. Note, the gift of tongues on certain occasions does not need the actual sister gift of the interpretation of tongues. In this example, the interpretation was not needed because the gift of tongues was being manifested in the actual languages of those present. Of course, the miracle was found in that the disciples had never spoken in those languages. In conclusion, prayer tongues and the gift of tongues are still tongues. Both are miraculous in operation, and in the hands of the Holy Spirit, the Lord can speak to mankind in a very edifying way. This is the reason why Satan has fought both operations of tongues so viciously. He hates this, and it is so contrary to the carnal mind, and that is where Satan operates. But to the person who's loving the Lord in the heart, in the spirit, where faith is, then you rise up and you take hold of this. Let's go on to number two, to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we just saw tongues operating within the boundaries of Israel. Now let's go outside those boundaries and see, is the Holy Spirit the same? Of course, the answer is going to be yes. Tongues, the Ephesian believers, Acts 19, verse 6. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Note, in this passage, we will put our focus on the words spake with tongues and prophesied. This simple phrase and the depth contained therein are further explained in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. These Ephesian believers had no understanding of tongues, yet when hands were laid on them, they began to speak in new tongues like the apostles did when they spake in tongues on the day of Pentecost. It's also important to note that this baptism took place outside the land of Israel, thus showing the power of the gospel that it was not limited to the geographical boundaries of the Holy Land. Both the Great Commission to preach to the lost and the baptism of the Holy Spirit function on a global scale. As these Ephesian believers were experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit for the first time, tongues and prophecy were the result. Now, the reason I listed this passage as a demonstration of the gift of tongues is that when you have tongues being spoken mixed with prophecy, it's very likely that the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues are or could be operating as well. Remember, these two gifts manifested are equal in result to prophecy. The only difference is in functionality. You may ask, how are tongues and the interpretation of tongues equal to prophecy? Well, on the day of Pentecost, as the disciples spoke in new tongues, those watching and listening had no need for the gift of the interpretation of tongues. To those speaking, it was an operation of the gift of tongues. But to those listening, it was no different than prophecy. To put it a different way, the interpretation of tongues, which is spoken in a known language of those listening, is no different than prophecy, except that it was preceded by an operation of the gift of tongues. These three language gifts, or language operations of the Holy Spirit, are truly the blessing of God, the same God who gave man languages at Babel as a type of judgment, who now, through Christ, gives believers this same ability, but as an act of blessing. Tongues are a further sign to the unbeliever of the indwelling presence of the living Christ. This is the last reference in the book of Acts to tongues, but it was not the end of this precious operation of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. I personally have received this wonderful gift of communion prayer. I have also experienced the power of God coming upon me as a gift, a charisma gift, changing my prayer tongue to perfect Ukrainian. When this happened, a group of newly arrived immigrants from Ukraine received a personal word from the Lord. Though speaking in perfect Ukrainian, I, of course, understood nothing. I was simply enjoying the presence of God that had come upon me as I yielded to the gift of tongues. We must desire this gift. And let me just close with this. Tongues and the interpretation of tongues equal prophecy because they produce the same result: edification, comfort, exhortation. In the example I just gave you, where I was praying in tongues with a bunch of wonderful people, and then my tongues changed. Power came down on me, and the words that I began to speak were no longer going up to God. They were going in an outward direction. It began, and then it ended. My prayer tongues was in an unlimited prayer, communing with God. But when that gift came down, it wasn't unlimited. It began and it ended. It was speaking in an outward flow to men. Now, to me, it was a tongue. I had no idea what I was saying. But to those listening, it was equal to prophecy, because it was in their language, it was in their perfect dialect, and so they didn't have to have an interpretation, because it was like they were in a service and prophecy was coming forth. But the truth is, to me, it was an operation of tongues. To them, it was prophecy. And so that is why, when you think about this, they equal each other. And it's beautiful. It's a God idea. And it's wonderful because it came in the New Testament. We were given something so beautiful that when we came to Christ, God filled us with the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden we're able to speak in new languages. And then at times that new language can change and speak outward to man. And then an interpretation comes, and the end result is edification, comfort, exhortation. Wow. Oh, that's enough for now. Let me just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this subject. And Lord, we desire. And Father, I pray for my friends. If anyone right now, any student is listening and they have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then I pray the Holy Spirit would come on them right now in the name of Jesus, that they would just simply pray a prayer, Lord, I receive, and that they would begin to pray in that wonderful communion prayer language. So, Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.